A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
In the name of Jesus, amen. One of the tasks of the preacher is to preach the whole counsel of God. It's easy to focus on some topics and not enough on others. Some things are a bit, shall we say, taboo, a little bit more sensitive. You know, they hit close to home because, well, they have to do with how we use our bodies, even sexually. Of course, the world that we live in and the world that is in us wants to say it's nobody's business what you do with your body. But yet here we have Paul talking to the Corinthians about sexual immorality and how to use their bodies. Why? Well, because maybe it's an important thing. Because your bodies and what you do with them are important to your Maker. So let's consider carefully Paul's words to the Corinthians and to us concerning sexual immorality and just how we Christians should consider our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit. Now, the church in Corinth was surrounded by sexual immorality. Corinth was an original sin city. The temple to the love goddess Aphrodite was there, and it did surely a brisk business. The Corinthian Christians would have been constantly tempted to remain in their old pagan ways. There was also a strain of Greek philosophy that believed that only the spirit mattered. You could do whatever you want with your own body. But God, who created the soul, also created that body. And it is the whole person that Jesus came to redeem, not just your spirits, but your bodies are his too and are saved by him. So sexual immorality matters to God. It's not just a physical matter, but a spiritual one too. Yes, when we apply the sixth commandment, we must recognize that all forms of sexual sin are condemned by God. It's not just wives and husbands cheating on each other, but it's homosexual activity and divorce, pornography, the lust in our hearts, and the wandering sinful thoughts of our minds. There is, of course, something insidious about this kind of sin. Paul says every other sin is outside of ourselves, but this kind of sin is against your own bodies. The Greeks rationalized it away, but no amount of rationalization will do before a holy God. God designed us, male and female, for each other, and for that love to be expressed in a godly way in the bounds of marriage. And in our sinfulness, we find ways to twist this good gift into all sorts of evil. So repent, every last one of you. Repent of your sins in the body and every other kind of transgression, too. Give them to Jesus. For each of these sins, in its own way, is a sin of unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness to your wedding vows, and not just after you make them, but also before you do. Look, we cheat in many ways, defiling the body that God has given us, all while the excusing and trying to hide. But like Adam and Eve with their fig leaves, our shabby attempt at coverings will not hide these sins, secret as we may think they are. Our conscience knows them, and our Lord knows them too. But also like Adam and Eve, who were given animal skin clothes, we too can only receive a sufficient covering from our Lord. We can only hide in his grace and mercy. We can be saved in our bodies of sin, but only by him who gave his body and blood for us all. But yes, absolutely, rather than following the desires of the flesh, we are to flee from them. Rather than indulging in whatever feels good, we seek to glorify God with our bodies. And this is not just a command of what you should do or not do, but Paul is actually appealing here to who you are. In the verses right before our text, he puts it bluntly. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Paul is telling these Corinthian Christians, look, think about what you have come out of. You made a break with your pagan culture. You are now in Christ. You are baptized. You have a new identity. That, my friends, is the point. You are new creations in Jesus. So yes, your bodies matter. God created your body. He is committed to a very physical you. And from the moment you were conceived to the day you die, and even beyond. As the psalmist says, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And dear saints of Christ, God is going to raise up your dead body on the day of the resurrection when he returns. And so your body and how you use it, yes, it is important to God. Paul continues. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Yes, you have been connected to Christ. Your identity, guess what? It's tied up with his. And you have been set free to live the new life which is yours in Jesus. Now, of course, you have a new you, but you also have an old you who doesn't want you to glorify God in your body. So where do you go when you do sin against God, even in your body? You go to him, and where he offers to bring you his healing gifts. How awesome is that? Jesus' body, given at the cross, cleanses your bodies of sin. His body broken brings wholeness to your brokenness. His purity for your impurity. His body and soul for your body and soul. His whole self to save your whole self. In Christ, and Christ alone, there is forgiveness. Forgiveness for all of your sins, even those that, well, you'd rather just not talk about. Here's a little non-secret. He died for them all, and so he forgives them all. So repent. Be restored and made whole by he who alone can do so. You are his bride, not because of you, but because of him. But yes, he is the bridegroom, and we, the church, are his bride. And in this holy matrimony of heaven and earth, this love is pure and perfect. In this spiritual union, we are connected to Christ, not just for now, but for an eternal now. And we look forward to the consummation, yes, consummation, of this blessed marriage when he comes again in glory. Dear saints, you are the body of Christ. You are the very reason he stepped into this world, into your flesh in the first place. And yes, you may live in a culture of death and decay all around you, but you are not the walking dead. You are the walking living. Walking wet is the baptized, dripping wet children of God in this world. Who washed you? Your groom has washed you. Your groom has sanctified you. Your groom loves you, and he is soon coming to hand over to you the blessedness that he won for you at his cross, and to lift you up as spotless and radiant without stain or wrinkle. So yeah, honor God and your bodies. Jesus is your groom. You are his body. It's who you are. In the name of Jesus, amen.